and the reason why Frank Neville took over the camp and is forcing everyone out.
Wesley dug in his breast pocket and displayed a small chunk of clear stone on his palm.
Found this while I was taking archival photographs. It's small, but a beauty.
Quartz? Yeah, it'll make a nice necklace for your girl.
Anya, this little beauty is a rough diamond.
Anya took the nickel-sized chunk from him and held it between two fingers. Clouds blocked the sun, so the surface appeared dull. One side was rough, dirty, and pocked, with two smooth, flat sides that resembled every piece of quartz she had ever seen. Except it also looked a lot like the rough diamond Mrs. Collins claimed to own. She tossed him the rough, and he caught it smartly.
How do you know it's a diamond?
Took it into a jeweler in Cork last evening after I'd visited Beth. He verified as much, offered me 10,000 on the spot.
And you didn't take it?
I dated a jeweler once. She used to buy Tunisian roughs. She taught me a few things. This is worth 5 times that much, I'm sure. It's weird, though. Because Ireland doesn't have diamond pipes or even trace indicator minerals like kimberlite.
It didn't have to come from a mine. The stone could have been lost, dropped.
Or buried right next to the 19th century skeleton we've unearthed. The same skeleton that I verified died of starvation. So tell me how that's possible.
It could have come from travelers to the area. Could have been part of a hidden stash. Whoever found the rough might not have realized it had any value. They may have simply thought it was a pretty, clear stone. Are you sure you can place it with the skeletons?
There were traces of wool thread wrapped around it. Probably from a skirt. So my guess is the rough was sewn into the skirt.
Interesting. Women used to do that, sew valuables like coins and jewels into their skirts before traveling. If they were robbed, the thief would rarely think to search their clothing for hidden booty.
Exactly. Or? The country was ravaged with wolves during the famine. If it was a woman with ruffs sewn into her skirt, she had to have traveled from someplace, well, not here.
Like, maybe she stole the stones?
Yes. And traveled to her family, only to arrive and find they'd been dead and buried since she left. Used to happen. A family member would go off to Liverpool in hopes of finding work, a new starting place for their family. Only problem is, the English would deport the Irish as quickly as they set foot on English soil.
So if our girl had managed to snag some diamonds and returned here to present them to her family as their means to salvation, only to discover said family has died, then you think wolves got to her? But Slater's camp is 200 yards away, which is where Mrs. Collins claimed to have found her rough. Why the distance between the roughs?
You said they found a full skeleton over there. Was it missing a femur? She could have been dragged from this site to that one.
Do you think a wolf, which may have been near starvation itself, could manage to drag a human body so far?
Minus one femur.
Still, why?
Either that, or the wolf attacked her here. But she managed to run from it a ways to over there. And after she was dead and had been gnawed on a while, scavengers carried the femur over here. It makes sense. What we need to do is match the femur we found to the other skeleton. That is, if I was still working the dig. I've already put in a call to my manager. He's got a job in Machu Picchu that interests me.
I'll do it. Well, this is too fascinating to ignore. So that has to be the reason for the secrecy. Diamonds.
Yep. And good reason to take out someone who might know too much, like Beth, Brian, and Richard.
But not Eric. What could he have discovered tromping through the woods? Certainly not diamonds.
I suspect Slater's security didn't want to take any chances.
While the diamond find is cool, I've recently learned there's an even darker truth behind the secrecy and the splitting of the camps.
What's that?
I took a walk through the forest last night. You ever see the trucks drive to the river at night?
I saw them one night. Didn't give them a second thought.
Seriously?
Anya, I've learned when to step back and when to stand for a cause. This time, stepping aside seems wise. Hell, I've called New World dozens of times. I only got a return call last night from the owner. It was really strange about the find. In a creepy, urgent way.
I suppose he wants to ensure the rough isn't stolen. The dig has finally produced something of value.
Yes, but all the official paperwork has ceased. It's not on the up and up anymore. got a bad feeling about this. I've had my share of adventure and can handle myself in about any situation. But when guys like Slater march the site with a Walter and unseen others like Frank Neville might be ordering people kidnapped, time to head for new climbs.
So you're going to walk away? Without even knowing why?
Not without a lovely parting gift.
Well, that belongs to the landowners. Or the country of Ireland. What about New World?
You tell that to Mrs. Collins. You'd best clear out as well, Anya. There's no story here worth the trouble brewing.
Wesley pocketed the lump of diamond and walked off. Hands on her hips, Anya again scanned the horizon. She saw two male figures standing near the dig hole she and Eric had explored. Slater bristled at the sight of Anya Creed staring right at them from across the land that separated the digs. Obviously, his message last night had not been clear. If she left, that would make his job easier and less stressful. Next to him stood Frank Neville. Neville's jet-black hair sprouted thickly on his head. It was short and spiked straight out. A thick black goatee and soul patch covered his narrow chin. Armani in the Irish countryside seemed out of place, and the diamond cufflinks screamed outsider, but he made it work.
That her?
I think so. Can't be certain without a scope.
Neville turned to his driver.
Hand me that rifle.
The driver handed over a Rangemaster 50 caliber. Neville lifted the rifle before him and sighted through the scope. The rifle was heavy, but he managed it easily enough, fingering the trigger.
Easy now, mate.
I'm using it to see. Dark hair, slender body, wearing cargo pants and t-shirt like the rest of the dig slaves usually wear. You said she's a television host?
I didn't. It's a silly American show that talks about monsters. They're filming an episode on ferries. She's no worry.
And yet she's still here. There's no dig to film now. I asked you to get rid of her.
You wanted me to clear out the other camp. I did so. She's not officially aligned with the dig.
Wesley Pierce is still there.
He's packing up.
Not fast enough.
Neville released the safety.
Settle down, Mr. Neville.
Don't bloody mother me, Slater.
You can't shoot him. The woman is standing right there.
Oh, maybe the nosy bird will get the hint.
Neville pulled the trigger. Wesley approached Anya with a bucket in each hand.
I can give you a ride into town. Anya, what are you...
Anya turned to see the left lens of his sunglasses shatter. Wesley's head jerked backward. He dropped the buckets. Blood poured from his eye socket. The man's knees wobbled, buckled, then he went down. Anya didn't have to press two fingers to Wesley Pierce's carotid artery to check for signs of life, but she did. No pulse. Anya slid her fingers from Wesley's neck. She avoided looking at the hole in his skull. The man was kind and had done nothing to warrant such violence. Without considering she could be next to take a bullet, she marched across the packed dirt clearing toward the opposing camp. A black SUV spun out in a cloud of dust from the enemy camp. The delivery truck she'd seen parked there daily followed close behind. Someone had rallied the troops, and after committing murder, they were hightailing it out of there. Right hand twitching, wanting to hold her sword, she kept it out of sight until she needed it, if she needed it. The camp looked deserted, but she wouldn't let down her guard. Her best bet was to get as close as possible to the one who wanted her dead. But did they want her dead? Wesley had seemed to fit the bill. He could have been used as a warning. Otherwise, she'd have a bullet hole in her head, too. Anya jogged down the rise that edged the pitoned-off dig square. The loamy earth bounced under her fast footsteps. She eyed the excavation square. They hadn't dug down any farther than Wesley's camp. The skeleton had been lifted. She still thought it was strange, though, that the roughs were separated by such distance. But again, an animal could have easily moved the bones as well as gotten what it thought was a rock in its maw and taken that along, too. No one was around, that she could see. The scent of dust and engine oil hung in the air. Stalking around the site, Anya aimed for the tents. Someone had to still be here. They wouldn't just abandon the tents and equipment, would they? As a hard impact against her shoulder shoved hard from the side, Anya stepped quickly to avoid stumbling. A steely hand gripped her throat. She couldn't swallow.
You really do have a death wish.
Anya shoved Slater off her with both palms to his shoulders and a heel to his shin.
You killed Wesley!
That was Neville. And if you think he's going to continue to let you traipse around filming his actions, you're out of your mind. Next time, you won't get a warning, Creed.
You call a bullet through a man's brain a warning?
Standing in your shoes, I'd call it lucky. Now take your pretty little head, the one without a bullet hole in it, away from here, and get yourself on the next flight to the States.
I'm calling the guardie.
Did you not hear what I said?
Yes, you laid the blame on someone else. You're not gonna get away with murder. Was Wesley's life worth a few chunks of rough diamond?
You think you know what's going on.
I can put two and two together. Rough diamonds have been found. Frank Neville is greedy to buy more guns. If I'm wrong, then you tell me what is right.
Can't do that.
Neville is an arms dealer.
Is that your guess?
I'm right. He's been shipping small arms down the Bandon River to the Kinsale Harbor. And he thinks he can find more rough diamonds to either fund his trade or buy more weapons.
Listen, every moment I have to deal with your idiocy, you're blowing my cover. If I have to babysit you one more day, I'd rather shoot you now and call it collateral damage.
Like Wesley?
I had no idea Neville was going to shoot him. He was scanning the camp, using the scope on the sniper rifle. If I'd stopped him, then the jig would have been up, and the whole operation would have gone tits up.
What cover?
Slater drew out his gun, and Anya found herself staring down the imposing barrel of the Walter.
How fast can you get out of town?
Apparently not fast enough for you.
Work with me here, Creed. There's nothing for you on this particular section of land, on this big island, in the Irish Sea. You want some stupid television spot to impress your boss? You're not gonna get it here.
What cover am I causing you to risk? Tell me. Because I'm not going anywhere until I know the truth.
If I tell you, you become the one person who can bring me down. I'd sooner shoot you than have that happen.
You've mentioned more than a few times the threat about shooting me, but I think when it comes down to it, you won't be able to pull the trigger. What if I have a diamond?
You're lying.
Wesley found a rough diamond over in his camp. He was showing it to me before he was brutally murdered.
Yeah, well, I've got a handful of roughs myself. Chump change, Creed. There's no diamond mine here. I tried to tell Neville it was a coincidence. They were from some robbery or a historical cache that got lost.
You know about the country's minerals?
A bit. I know Ireland has never pulled diamonds out of the ground. Gold and zinc, yes. I've been working on this case for 6 months. This is just a sidebar to the big deal. A deal I'm never going to crack with you spooking my mark.
Your mark? Frank Neville? Who are you? You're British intelligence. I thought you were military. You stick out like a sore thumb on this dig.
I'm MI6. Information you will take to your grave if you got a brain in that pretty little head.
I won't tell. I promise.
Slater shouldered his gun.
I believe your word is good. So now that you know, you'll leave. There are flights leaving from Dublin for the States a couple times a day. I'll even foot the bill. See how generous I can be.
I'm not going anywhere. Not until I find Eric Kritz. He's my responsibility. He's only 18 years old. He hasn't even graduated high school.
Bloody hell. What are you doing traveling with a kid like that?
It was a surprise to me. But he's a good kid. If you have any sway with Neville, if you know anything about Eric's disappearance, you have to tell me.
I don't have to do anything for you.
Just like you didn't have to take a dive fighting Wesley?
Did I?
You had him beat, but you threw the fight. You're trying to hold things together, aren't you? Keeping up a facade for Neville, yet protecting the innocents to preserve your own moral code.
Check the local hospitals. Your cameraman may have gotten lost and wandered into the city.
Is that a suggestion, or do you know that for a fact?
Just a suggestion.
And will I find him high on LSD like Beth was?
You're getting in too deep, Anya.
Yeah? Well, there's a dead man lying not 200 yards away from us, and the man I'm responsible for is missing. And I'm thinking if you're not gonna help me, then Beth is my best bet.
Beth doesn't know anything you don't already know. She saw the trucks delivering guns to the river one night, same as you. And don't think Neville will allow further conversation with her to happen.
Meaning?
Think about it.
Why didn't he shoot me too?
I guess he thought I could handle getting you out of his hair.
Slater gestured toward the dismantled camp where Wesley's body still lay.
I'll call for someone to clean up the mess.
He's a human being, not a mess.
Not in this game, Anya. See, that's what separates you from the men. You think too much. You women, you always see with your heart.
And you can idly stand by and watch an innocent man be murdered.
Part of the job. Didn't say I liked it. And now we're getting too chatty. I intend to do what I promised Neville I'd do. I'll take you into town to collect your cameraman, and then see you to the airport. Please, Anya, can you do that for me?
Fine. But if Eric's not at the hospital, I'm not leaving until I find him.
Bit of a bustle going on about my neck of the Humber Woods lately.
Daniel Collins scanned across the cleared dig sites. Both crews certainly did up and leave quick enough. But his thoughts were not focused on why the camps had left, and without so much as a goodbye or a thank you for the hospitality. His focus was currently on the helicopter landing in the field where the digs had been backfilled. The sleek white chopper looked like an alien insect as it landed between the two dig sites where once the imaginary line had been drawn. Plumes of dry dirt billowed and dispersed in the sky. One man stepped down from the helicopter and took a look around. He gestured to the pilot and stepped out and away to avoid the upsweep of dirt as the helicopter took off, leaving the stranger standing in the center of what had only recently been a busy archaeological dig. Even from his distance, Daniel could tell the man was big, a good half a foot taller than him. He wore a dress shirt that stretched tightly over enough muscles to make him formidable. As the man approached, and Daniel could make out his dark goatee and square jaw, he suddenly recognized the face. He waved, and the man nodded, not willing to wave, and reserving judgment until he got close enough to Daniel.
Mr. Braden! You do know how to make an entrance. What brings you to the land of air on the fine Monday afternoon?
I thought I'd be landing near a dig in progress. I had no idea the field was so close to your home, Collins. Do you know what's going on here? Where is everyone?
I'm as surprised as you to find it completely clear today. They must have vacated early this morning. I didn't know you had an interest in archaeology, Mr. Braden.
I own the company that is funding this dig, New World. I got a call from Wesley Pierce last night. He's not around?
I haven't talked to Wesley since Saturday night. And my understanding was that Frank Neville had commandeered this dig. Pierce was hanging around to be stubborn.
Is that so?
You look as though that is news to you, Mr. Braden. The site has been under Neville's supervision for a couple of weeks now. At least the one dig. Not sure what exactly they were looking for. As far as I know, Pierce's camp found a spear shard and some bones.
What about the other camp? They find anything?
Not that they'd reveal to anyone. They've kept tight security and have been causing a bit of trouble, if you ask me. People have been disappearing. Tracks running at odd hours of the night.
Did Pierce mention anything to you about diamonds?
No, sir.
You ever hear about diamonds being found in this part of the country?
As a matter of fact, my mum found a tiny bit of rough a few weeks ago. I think it was what attracted Neville to the dig. Probably thought he could find more. I could have told him that there are no diamond mines in Ireland. It was a fluke what me mum found.
Sizable?
5 carats, maybe more. But there was a noticeable crack that runs half the length. Would reduce the value by tens of thousands, I'm sure. You want to take a look at it?
No, Collins. Let your mother keep the stone. I know she's a collector.
She'll keep it tucked under her shelf until she dies. She's not in the market to sell it. But I understand it would belong to New World.
I won't mention it to anyone if you don't.
Deal. So, you interested in a tug of wine? Me home's an amble away.
Always interested in what you're pouring, Collins.
Garin walked alongside Daniel as he headed north toward his land.
How has the trade been treating you?
Well, always well. I stay busy. Not a thing to complain about.
Good. I like to hear when a man is happy with his work. It so rarely occurs in this day and age. I need to find Wesley Pierce and learn what's gone on with the dig. This doesn't feel right, Collins.
If he's not on to a new job, he might be in Cork to visit the girl who wandered off and got lost for a few days. She stumbled back into camp babbling about the fair folk and looking pretty wild when they found her. I've got a jeep you can borrow.
That would be excellent.
You know that Michael Slater fellow supervising the other camp?
No, but I'll be checking him out. Anyone else in the area you think I might like to chat with to learn what's up with Pierce's camp?
Shouldn't think so. Well, there is the Creed woman. She's a lovely dog, she is.
Creed?
Garin stopped abruptly, and Daniel had to sidestep to avoid a collision.
Anya Creed?
Oh, you've heard of her. Oh, sure, it's likely you've seen her on the telly. Sexy bit of a thing she is.
You and I agree on that, Collins. How is she involved?
I don't understand that she's in the area to film a segment for her television show. Do you know her?
You could say that. Anya, eh? This trip won't be so dull after all.
Michael Slater found a spot in the parking lot under a sycamore tree and put the Jeep in park. He pushed his sunglasses to the top of his head and glanced at Anya. He had the cool, calm, double agent act down pat, but she wasn't buying his friendly demeanor. He had no reason to suddenly be nice to her.
I trust you can look around without bringing too much attention to yourself.
Why the sneak? I'm looking for a friend. For once, I have a legitimate reason to be in the hospital.
Neville's got men guarding Beth. And if he's taking Eric, the situation will be the same.
Thanks for the heads up. If you are in on this, why not tell whoever is in charge of guarding the captives to let Eric go?
It's out of my hands, Anya. Actually, your friend was never in my hands in the first place.
Do you?
The less you know, the better, right?
As long as you're not holding back information about Eric.
Just stay away from Beth Gwillim. Promise me, Anya, you don't have time for that trouble.
Anya eyed his cell phone. He held it ready to dial. Would he report her to Neville the moment she stepped out of the car? A means to dispose of the nosy TV reporter. She trusted him, because she'd run out of options. And part of her believed he just wanted to get her and Eric out of the country and off his back.
I'll stay out here. I'm calling the airport and booking a flight for you. You've got 10 minutes. After that, I'm coming in after you.
After Anya got out of the car and went into the hospital, Slater dialed Reggie Marks, the barge captain.
Just checking in. Where do we stand?
Everything's on time. The barge is pulled away from the shore near the dig site and will be at the Kinsale Harbor in a few hours. The river is tidal and the high tide comes along twice a day. We've timed this perfectly.
Good. Cleared out the camp.
Yeah. The camp was completely vacated after you left. All tents were packed up and the site was backfilled. Wesley's body has been picked up and will be put someplace where a dead body won't raise a lot of questions.
Slater didn't want to know, so he didn't ask. A call to Neville was answered by one of his bodyguards.
Let me speak to Neville.
Sorry, mate. Neville's indisposed.
We on schedule.
Add a delay. The last truck has been detained somewhere north of Kinsale.
Yeah, whatever. Soon as Neville gets his act together. The man was a small-time arms dealer who had delusions of grandeur and a bad case of ADD. He simply could not stick to the task at hand without seeking other projects. Though Slater had to admit, the idea to raid the defunct arms dumps across Ireland had been genius. Neville had arranged a grey deal with a Pakistani contact that MI6 was also keeping tabs on.
I'll check in again to ensure the truck is back on track.
Slater slapped the phone shut and shoved it in his shirt pocket. He tipped the sunglasses down from his forehead to block the sun.
Baby sitting an arm stealer. Chauffeuring some idiot television host. Who the hell did I piss off to get this bollocks assignment?
Anya always stood a little taller when in the presence of a nun. She attributed that to growing up in a Catholic orphanage. Anya waited while the woman checked the computer screen. She was nice enough and understood Anya was worried about her friend. She'd described Eric to her and said he'd gotten lost in the forest during an overnight hiking excursion.
You don't have a John Doe?
We do have an unidentified man in intensive care, but he's 60. Have you checked with the Gardaí? Missing persons are usually reported to them.
I have. Thanks for looking for me. I'll check the other hospitals in the city.
Anya turned to wander toward the reception lounge. A big man in a dark sweatsuit shoved past her hard. Anya looked down the hallway in the direction he'd come from. Nurses and a few others in white coats rushed into the room she knew was Beth's.
She's crashing!
Tempted to rush toward the room, but sensing her best bet was following the fleeing man with the wide shoulders and an urgent need to be gone from the scene, she took off after him. Down the stairwell she raced, but didn't catch him as he opened the door to the first floor. He charged through a side door marked patient drop-off. Dodging a parked red Ferrari with a well-dressed man helping his mother from the car, the thug ran across the street and jumped into the passenger side of a black SUV. The flash of a gun in the front seat and the look from the man riding in the back seat flipped on Anya's intuition switch.
Neville.
Keeping from glancing about for the parking lot where Slater waited, Anya stopped in front of the Ferrari. The SUV didn't pull away from the curb. Whoever sat in the back seat saw her through the blackened window screen. When the window rolled down, she stepped quickly up to the SUV and leaned down. Beside the well-dressed man in the back seat sat an open laptop computer connected to a cell phone.
Anya Creed?
You must be Frank Neville.
I have been wondering when I'd get to meet the infamous Anya Creed. We need to talk.
Yes, we do.
Get inside.
The window rolled up and the door lock on the opposite side of the SUV popped up. Anya walked around behind the SUV, gripped the door, and climbed in the car. The scent of sweet tobacco lingered in the car's interior. Anya impulsively tabbed the window button, but it didn't move down. The driver must have her side locked.
Drive.
Neville closed the laptop and shoved it in a leather pocket on the back of the seat before him. The glass partition in the center of the front seat slid noiselessly up to fit against the ceiling.
What are you doing at County General, Miss Creed?
I had hoped to find a friend there.
Did you find him?
No. Then I thought I'd look in on another friend, Beth Gwillem.
She's not your friend. Beth disappeared days before you arrived in Ireland. It's not possible you could have been friends.
We've chatted online.
I don't believe that. You want an honest conversation? Tell me the truth.
I am being honest. I had hoped to find my friend in West County General. The man I traveled here with, Eric Kritz, went missing during a hike through the forest the other night. I thought I'd check the same hospital Beth was in, since the manner of their disappearance was similar.
Is that so? Wandering about the forest, popping magic mushrooms?
So you've heard about her condition?
I make it a point to know certain things. Like things about you. I understand you're with a television program. You should consider gathering a more intelligent crew. Or is that how the Americans operate? Get stoned and party all night?
He was forcibly taken. If you know so much about everyone, I suspect you may have an idea where I can find Eric. Once I know he's safe, we'll pack our bags and leave the country.
If I believed that, I'd put you on a flight to the States myself.
A generous offer.
The SUV turned onto a gravel road. Anya hadn't realized they'd left the city limits. Green pastures and rolling landscape zoomed by the windows.
Where are we headed?
I'm checking on items lost in transit. Now back to this truthful conversation. I don't believe you. So I intend to handle matters using a more tried and true method.
Would that be the same method you used on Wesley Pierce?
Neville studied her with emotionless black eyes, his head bobbing slightly as the car rolled over the country road. Anya felt the proverbial spiders crawling up her spine. This was not a man to joke with.
Just tell me about the LSD. Why?
It wasn't something I'd originally ordered, but it did work well. The barge captain had some lying around and injected the men so they wouldn't be so boisterous. When they started seeing fairies, well...
You thought that was a perfect cover.
Silly, but effective. Especially in this part of the country. Ah, we're here.
Anya looked out the window. A field of sheep grazed to the north, and a brisk green hedgerow walled a portion of the south view. Another white delivery truck, no, it was an armored truck, was parked 50 yards beyond the SUV, straddling the makeshift gravel road. An old armored truck painted white and rusting along the welded seams. Two bodyguards exited the front of the SUV.
Get out.
Neville waited until Anya got out of the back, then he did so. The unexpected roadblock sat idling.
You, go check out what's up with the truck.
Yes, sir.
Neville then turned to the thug standing near him.
Murphy, get rid of her.
Murphy approached her, pushing aside his suit coat to reveal a gun in the shoulder holster. Interestingly enough, the gun was just for show. It appeared he was in the mood for a tussle before the final game. Anya dodged a swing from him as he made his move. Jumping high, she cleared his left arm and landed steadily. She summoned the sword to her right hand. Swinging wide and putting her weight into it, she slashed the battle sword's blade across the thug's shoulder. He wasn't close enough for the blade to do more than slice the fabric. The thug, who had returned to Neville's side, prepared to shoot again, but Anya saw Neville gesture for his man to hold off.
a bloody sword.